I love going out on the road. I love performing. This is what I was born to do. And even more than that, I know it's a calling.
And the morning we went in to deliver the twins is when they discovered that our son Aiden's heartbeat had stopped.
In that doubt, sometimes those thoughts aren't my own thoughts. Those are placed, you know, there to stop you from achieving what you can achieve.
Hello and welcome to Latter-day Profiles. I'm Brian Howard. We're here at the LAS Motion Picture Studio in Provo, Utah. And joining me today is Paul Wuthrich. Paul, welcome.
Thank you.
It's good to see you. I'm going to shake your hand because
yes,
we can.
We can.
Because it's a post-COVID days. We're so happy about that. Well, Paul, recently was the lead in the film Witnesses. I played the actor Joseph Smith, which, by the way, I saw in theaters, which was the first movie I saw in a theater since COVID. So I was very happy.
Wow.
Doubly, because it was a great film. It was also fun to be out in the theater with other people. So great to have that. Paul's an actor, also does some things in marketing. He's been in several other films that you may know about, The Fighting Preacher, Joseph Smith, American Prophet, and some others. You may have seen him in a commercial here and there and that kind of stuff. So, Paul, welcome. So good to have you.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on here.
Let's talk a little bit about your background. I think you grew up in Utah, went to Davis High. Were you into acting as you were going through high school, or when did you get into acting?
Yeah, like you said, I went to Davis High, graduated in 2009, and I really found my groove in acting in high school. Mm. I did junior high plays, wasn't that great probably, but yeah, sophomore year, beginning theater class, I remember the first monologue I gave, pretty nervous. I got on stage and all of a sudden something just clicked and it felt just like home. Mm. And then it's kind of been a little place for me ever since.
Yeah.
So I acted all through high school, did plays, musical, did some city plays, and then after I graduated is when I transitioned into film and started acting that way.
Hmm. Well, I know I was reading through your bio that in high school you won some awards for your quality of acting, so that's pretty cool. What kind of stuff did you do in high school? Were they, you know, the big traditional school plays, or were they, you know, what kind of plays did you do?
Yeah, it was a mix of everything. We did Shakespeare, which I loved. Mm-hmm. We did some straight theater shows, one-act plays type of things. I was in a World War II one-act. We did Macbeth, which is a pretty daunting project for high school, and I got to play Macbeth my junior year, so that was a lot of that really mastered my memorization techniques, memorizing a whole Shakespeare play.
Yeah.
But we also did big musicals. We did Scarlet Pimpernel my senior year, and so it was a good variety, you know. And I enjoy musicals. I trained a lot my voice to sing, but I really preferred kind of the straight theater shows. Even on a smaller theater, I like the intimacy, and I think that's what I like about film, is that it gets a little more intimate, it's a little less broadcast, and a little more personal.
Yeah, I get kind of up close. You know, bring up a point I don't think a lot of us think about, you know, when actors deliver those lines perfectly, even memorizing for a long time. What have you done to help master that? I mean, most of us probably could use some lessons in memorization to do better in school and whatnot, but how do you go about it?
So one thing that I've learned is, well, everybody, you know, repetition, obviously.
Yeah.
And one thing that I like to do is when I get a script, especially a large script, I will strip all of the punctuation away and I'll write it out without commas or periods. And I memorize thought to thought. Because when you memorize thought to thought, it's a lot easier than memorize something that's not relevant to you. You know, it doesn't have meaning. And so if you memorize thoughts that then you personalize and give meaning to and attach emotion to, it just sticks in your brain. And so it also helps with, you know, getting that dialogue to a point where you can deliver it, because then you don't sound like you're reciting lines, especially with Shakespeare.
Yeah.
You know, da 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 da. And if you get on stage, you sound like you're reading off poems, and so you got to strip all that away and really memorize as they would talk in a regular flow.
Well, that's got to be tough, cause especially like Shakespeare. Or as we were talking about, you know, if you're doing lines like scriptural, trying to, you know, play a part like,
even,
you know, that's got to be tough to try and make that sound conversational.
Yeah. You know, we mentioned a little bit earlier, I was in the running, so to speak, for the church's Book of Mormon series. And I've had a few auditions, and one of them was for Christ. And they would say, okay, here's, you know, 2, 3, 4 pages of scripture you got to memorize. And so they say, give it personality. And you think, well, okay, it's Christ and it's scripture. How are you supposed to give that personality? And so that's, I would do that. I would take the script. I would write all the scriptures down, strip it of punctuation, and then I would memorize it as a person and a, you know, and it was cool to learn that about Christ. You know, if you study, it's one thing to study those words on a receiving end, But if you were to step into his shoes and say, why is he saying this now? You know, why does he choose to say this before this? I'll give you one example of something that was pretty profound in that aspect. As I was studying 3 Nephi, he introduces himself and he shows everybody his hands and his feet. And then all 2,000 people come and touch him and feel him, which means he had a face-to-face interaction with every one of those people. And then later he says, okay, I have to leave. And everybody is looking on to him and they want him to stay, right? And he says, makes a remark about their faith. And then he asks them to come forward and bring their sick. He says, are there any that are sick or afflicted among you? Have ye any that are halt or lame? And you think, well, wait a minute. He just met all of these people face to face. He had a personal moment with every one of them. See, he knows all of this before he asks, right? And so for me as an actor, it was a matter of, if I'm Christ, wouldn't I want to heal them immediately with that compassion and that love? And so why did I wait until the end, until I was about to leave before I invited them and asked for that to come? And so you start to process things like that. And what does that mean for Christ and for us and the faith that we need to show to be healed? And you really start to learn a lot about anybody that way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I imagine, you know, a faith-building experience, especially to play this role of Joseph Smith in the movie Witnesses. What about that as you're studying? And did you, you know, I was wondering, I learned some new things from that one. And, you know, even though we're studying the Doctrine and Covenants, I think I'm up to speed. I realize I'm really not up to speed. I really need to learn a lot more. But what about that role and things that you learned as you were preparing to be, you know, play the role of Joseph Smith?
Yeah, that was an incredible experience. I have been a student of Joseph Smith's life for a long time. And Truman Madsen has some old lectures on his personality and his life. You know, he has an 8-hour lecture set and a 6-hour lecture set. And I used to just listen to those on repeat because I really wanted to get to know Joseph Smith as a person. But there is so much church history and there are so many figureheads in the church that it feels impossible to get a good rap on all of them. And the three witnesses, especially, there's so much to their story. And so diving into that specifically, you know, I knew a little bit of history. I knew that they kind of left the church and Martin Harris came back, but I didn't really know the specifics of why they left. Personally, I'd always kind of had harsher feelings towards Martin Harris, you know, because he lost 116 pages. And I just kind of thought, you know, that's what he's known for. But to really get in there and delve into the sacrifices that all of them made, Joseph included, but for those three witnesses, and you know, to really see the impact of the personal relationships is really builds that tension. And that's really, if you think about it, the early days of the church, your relationship with the church for those men was their relationship with Joseph.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was really fascinating and especially fascinating to see how young everybody was.
Anything in the past you would think, oh, those are old people, right?
But
these are young men, and it had to be a pretty, you know, amazing to study that. Was there anything in particular that you may have learned that, you know, obviously there's some things about their lives, you know, there may have been in there, but anything in particular that stands out to you that was kind of, wow, I didn't know that before?
You know, I think a lot of it I was kind of familiar with. From the bank to, you know, the polygamy aspect, but some of the things that surprised me was the impact of what I was familiar with, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, I knew about it, but I didn't know what it meant.
Right.
You know, and so for one of those, you know, speaking of age, one thing I would do is I would write down every event in the movie and I would go through and look up how old Joseph was during that time. Because again, we see him as like a 35-year-old guy and he's very prophetic, very robust. And I thought, oh my gosh, during Kirtland, he's 27. You know, he's leading people. The church isn't dead. He's got all this pressure. People are apostatizing and you think he's got it put together. But I'm like, this is a 27-year-old guy trying to have a wife, trying to have kids, trying to do all of these things. And that is a lot of weight on such a young guy.
Yeah.
And same for Oliver and David and all of those guys, you know, they're just figuring it out one step at a time.
Yeah. And Martin Harris was the old man, but he wasn't that much older.
Yeah, exactly.
How did this role come about? You know, how did you find out about it? And what was the audition process like for this role?
So this role I heard about through, I have an agent in Salt Lake and they sent me the audition. And I've always dreamed of playing Joseph Smith. Been a big fan of him, obviously, throughout my life. And the scene that I got to audition. So they'll generally send you a side, is what they call it, and it's just basically one or two pages of the script. Mm. You don't have any other context. And the scenes that I got to audition with was, the first one was where Oliver Cowdery confronts Joseph about polygamy. Mm. And the other one was where he confronts Martin Harris over losing the 160 pages.
Oh, okay. Pretty dramatic.
Bits. Pretty dramatic. And, you know, it's, I mean, you're facing issues head on, you know? And I just remember reading it and thinking, wow, this is the Joseph Smith I've always wanted to see, you know? This human, intense person that had these struggles. And so, yeah, I worked hard on him. I prepared and I walked in. And lo and behold, the director, Mark Goodman, and Russ were sitting in there. And I had been able to work with them 2 years prior on a project called Joseph Smith, American Prophet. Mm, yeah. And Mark Goodman was the DP on that. And so that puts you at ease, you know, having a good experience to walk in. Oh, okay, these guys are friendly. And I did the audition. And Mark kind of said, well, why didn't we have that in the film? And so later I came to find out that he had kind of cast me 2 years ago. They were working on the script and he said, I think he'll work for Joseph. And so it just really worked out that way.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Well, that's good. It's cool. nice to get a role like that. Yes. Auditioning is kind of a tough thing, right? And sometimes it doesn't always work out. In fact, let's talk a little bit about that. We'll come back to the film. But, you know, the process of being an actor, you know, it's not the 9-to-5 life, as everybody knows. You know, you're auditioning. Tell us about that auditioning process as you decide, okay, I'm going to try and do this thing. What's it been like for you? And, you know, as far as the pros and the cons, because it's got to be a kind of a roller coaster.
It is. It's a bumpy road, and I think I have had more rejection than the average person. You know, it's an interesting thing. I've been able to speak to some youth groups, and, you know, it's easy for them to say, oh, you got this cool lead in this movie, and isn't life peachy? And mm-hmm. So, you know, what you don't see is that I've literally been on hundreds of auditions. Mm. I've been told no hundreds of times. You know, imagine going into a job interview and not getting the job 100 times. But not only that, on top of that, you're the product you're trying to sell, you know? And and sometimes it doesn't matter if how good you are. You know, so you're too short, you're too tall, you know, your hair's too light, you're too young, you can't grow a beard, which I cannot grow a beard, and it's just out of your control. And so you really have to learn to deal with that rejection. You put all of this work into one audition that lasts 4 minutes, and then when you walk away, you just have to let go and say, okay, that's it. I'm just going to move on. If I hear back, great. If I don't, there'll be another one, hopefully.
You know, what a personal experience, because, yeah, most of you going for a job interview and then you get a letter, I just wasn't the right fit. And you may get that line as well, but yeah, like you said, your hair doesn't work. It's something with your face.
Yeah.
It's like, what about, what a personal thing when you're going to auditions and for whatever reason that you don't make it. Are most people pretty good? Is it kind? Or is it like, sorry, you just didn't make the cut?
Sometimes you get some positive feedback. A lot of times, which is sometimes even harder, is they don't tell you anything. They just say, okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And then if you can hear through the grapevine, get some feedback later. But yeah, and sometimes those are even harder because you have no idea.
Yeah.
And then you see who they cast and you think, well, I'm definitely not that guy, you know?
going through this process, I think acting is one of the interesting things because, especially if you want to make it big time, then I think there's a lot of pressures, and probably a lot of pressures to do roles and such that maybe you're not comfortable with. How have you handled that when you've encountered those situations?
Yeah, for me, I had to make up my mind beforehand. And it was one of those things going into it. I remember when I graduated high school, I said, hey, I want to get into films. One of my uncles said, he said, oh, you're gonna go to LA and throw all your morals away, huh? And I thought, no, you know. But I had to think, okay, I said, okay, like I have to decide now what I'm willing to do and what I'm not willing to do. And it's tough. You know, I don't do acting full time now, but I did for a couple years pursue it full time film industry, full time acting. I was living off acting jobs and I got offered this role for a series. I think it was a web series. It could have been YouTube Red. I'm not sure, but it would have paid me, you know, over $1,000 a day. And I didn't get the audition in time to cancel. You usually have 24 hours to cancel. And so they finally sent me the audition stuff late the night before, the morning of. And I remember reading through the script and it was just kind of crass and crude. And there was some cuss words that I just wasn't willing to do. And I thought, dang it, like I have to go and do this audition now. And so I went and I did it. And the lady was from LA. And she said, I want to talk to you for a second. She said, this role is yours if you want it. But I have another role that's a recurring role. It's a supporting lead, recurring role on the series. It's a little more intense than this one. And that's yours if you want it, if you're comfortable. And she said, think about it and let me know. And you know, it was tough to turn that down. Mm. You know, I won't lie. Even though I knew I said, you know, that I wasn't going to do it, to walk out thinking, oh my gosh, I'm turning down something that could be a big step in my career, something that's going to pay my bills far more than anything else, yeah, and could lead to some good things potentially, you know, to take this one bullet and then never do it again, make this exception to the rule and get paid and move on. And ultimately, I just knew that I would regret it later down the road. And so you do, even in Utah, you have to know what you're willing to do and know what opportunities you're going to pass up on.
Mm. That's a tough challenge when those things come up. Do you remember, what was your first paying gig? Do you remember what that was? Was it commercial? Was it something that actually you got paid for doing your acting?
My first paying gig, I actually think, was in high school.
Oh, yeah.
And my theater teacher came and said, hey, there's a corporate party and they need some, it's an old Western theme and they need people to dress up as cowboys and go, you know, walk around this casino at a hotel and pretend like it's an old Western thing and I'll pay you $50 to do it. I thought, sweet, my first paying gig.
You know, the cowboy in the casino.
Now yeah, it's need, a cowboy in the casino.
You need some photos of that. That would be awesome to see. So let's talk about, you know, so you did acting for full time. Now you're doing some other things as well. You've been involved in marketing, working in kind of like a startup company, right? Yeah. Tell us a little bit of that side of things and how you try and balance it out. Because I think you're still interested in continuing to act, but, you know, just spreading your wings, I guess. And maybe it's, I don't know, fiscal responsibility. I don't know. Why is your choice to go that direction?
I would say a little bit of everything. You know, one thing I really enjoyed about acting. So I'll tell you the moment I knew that I wanted to pursue acting was I was in high school. We're doing this play and it was a World War II one act. And there was this really tender moment right at the end. And I'm in the front of the stage and I'm kind of delivering this monologue. And I remember it was a smaller theater. And I remember kind of looking up into the audience and I had everyone's attention. And you could kind of see through the lights that everybody was kind of on the verge of tears type of thing. And I thought, I have them just right in the palm of my hand, you know, and these people are willing to go anywhere I want to go. And I realized how powerful of a medium acting is to convey themes and messages and to influence people. Yeah. And so I remember thinking, you know, stage, you're limited to who's in the theater for a limited runtime, but film can be seen by thousands of people, millions of people for extended periods of time. And you can have a positive influence over and over and over again. And I thought, if I want to impact the most people possible, acting is what I'm going to do. Mm. And it was a passion of mine. And so, to your point, I was in it for a while. And that actually led me to a job as a line producer on a television show called The Pray to Home Show. Mm. And I got to learn a lot of behind the scenes stuff, scripting, coordinating, some directing. And from there, I got hired to do some videography work for a company that we had worked with. And he just said, hey, I just need somebody to come shoot videos, put them on our website. And that led me to discover marketing, which I loved. You know, I said, okay, I got to have a place to put these videos and I need to tell a story with our brand and this company. And turns out you can influence people that way too. And so it's just been kind of this creative journey that's led from one fulfilling thing to the next fulfilling thing. And now I'm finishing my degree in professional sales and discovering that I love negotiating and talking to people and kind of helping them go through, I call it business therapy, you know, and help solving problems and communicating. And I'm just loving kind of this expansion of my mind and my passions.
Mm. So you've got lots of directions you can go, but acting still in your future, that's something that you're still pursuing as well. Yep. Well, we just have a couple minutes left, but I did want to ask you, you know, the movie Witnesses has been successful, you know, even from, you know, box office standards, which is great. What's the feedback you've received from people who've seen the movie or from, you know, the industry folks that talk about the movie? What have you heard? What are they saying?
I think the most common positive feedback I've got is people love how honest it is. Mm. And kind of my initial reaction of saying like, oh, I love this type of Joseph Smith. People will come and say, that was the best portrayal of these characters I've seen. And, you know, they'll say, oh, you're like my favorite Joseph. And a lot of that just has to do with the writing and the directing and the fact that they chose to frame this story in a very open, honest, and really raw way, you know. And people said, I can't believe you showed that scene or you talked about this topic, and I was a little uncomfortable, but I'm so glad you did.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what we want to see these people as, is personable.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, growing up, especially the early church films, partly just because of technology and other things, they're pretty straightforward, kind of, you know, what you might, you know, talk about in Sunday school, like the salad plates and that kind of thing. I really did like that about the movie, that it was very much kind of raw, and that you saw people kind of as they, I think a lot of times we look at those folks and see them as, I don't know, infallible, you know, just always perfect decisions, not as people who fight or have disagreements with each other or heaven forbid, you know, walk away from each other. So I did really appreciate about the film. Were you surprised that, I don't know if you're surprised or not, but, you know, that actually it's in, you know, it was in at least 90 and more theaters when it first came out and doing really well. Was that something that, yeah, I don't know, you had anything to do with the distribution, but was that something you were expecting, or what did you think about that?
You know, I wasn't expecting it, and I was expecting locally, you know, to have some buzz, but one of the, Oliver Cowdery, he lives in L.A., and the guy that plays Michael Whitmore, David Whitmore, his name is Michael, lives in Boston, and we have a little group text, and they're constantly saying, I just saw it here, I just saw it there, and it's still in the top 10 in the nation, and so the reception has been overwhelming and something that I'm deeply grateful for, that it's been this well received.
Yeah. So, acting for the future, any particular irons in the fire, or just looking for those opportunities to come your way?
Yeah, a little bit of both. T.C. Christensen, he's always working on stuff, and so I have a potential film with him coming up next year. It was delayed of COVID this last year, and so we've been in a little contact, and so hopefully that will take place next year, and that would be a really fun one to do as well.
Oh, that'd be great. Well, we're very glad that things have opened up, so now we can do things like go to the theater or actually don't have to wear a mask and can do scenes for for films. But Paul, it's been really a pleasure to talk with you. I wish you all the best. Thank you so much, Paul.
Thank you. Appreciate it.